take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. We are dealing with the friends of Paul. And we come to the 18th chapter of Acts. We're at the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And he had been in Corinth, and he's about ready to finish up and head to Jerusalem. And then, of course, he'll give his second missionary journey. But I want you to look at verse 18 of Acts chapter 18. It tells us, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while. Now, talking about at Corinth, as a matter of fact, we're told in verse 11, for a year and 6 months he was there, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And as we saw last week, he took with him Priscilla and Aquila, that godly couple that the Lord used mightily. Now, he had taken a vow, Paul did, and in verse 19, he came to Ephesus, and he left them, that's Aquila, Priscilla and Aquila, and he left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews, and when they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea, which is in the area of Israel, and gone up and saluted the church, then he went back. And it's interesting, it says he went down to Antioch. If you look at a map, the reason that he says you go down, everything from Jerusalem is downhill. I remember when I visited Jerusalem the first time, I thought maybe, you know, the hills of Jerusalem were like the Flint Hills. But as I got there, I realized it was more like the Smoky Mountains. And it's interesting that Paul goes to Jerusalem. But who did he leave in Ephesus? He left Aquila and Priscilla. Verse 23. And after he had spent some time there, this is Paul, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Because if you remember, along the way, he had been leading people to Christ, and he didn't ignore them. It says, but while he is traveling back, and we're told that verse 24, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him with them, unto them, and probably, as we mentioned last week, brought him home for dinner, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, and that's Corinth, and again, if you were looking at the map, you would just go across the waters and from Ephesus to Corinth. The brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing that by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now, I want you to see verse 1 of chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul shows up in Ephesus. So the Apostle Paul totally misses Apollos. Now, who is Apollos? Well, it tells us very straightforwardly in verse 24, he was a Jew. And he was a Jew, it tells us, who was born at Alexandria. Now, Alexandria, interesting thing, if you know anything about the ancient world, Alexandria was in Egypt. And it was founded in 332 B.C. by Alexander the Great. So that's why it's Alexandria. And this is where Apollos grew up. Now, Hebert says that in Alexandria were numerous Jews. Jews were very influential there. And it was the literary center of the Hellenistic world. Now, Hellenistic being Greek world. Where Gentiles and Jewish learning met and interacted. Alexandria, and if you know anything about ancient history, Alexandria boasted the greatest library of antiquity and earned notice for its school of philosophy, literature, and rhetoric. So, of course, we know of people like Socrates and Plato, and you know, you have these philosophies. And it's interesting that this is where Apollos grew up. Now, what we find about Apollos is that he was, and I'm just going to give you a couple things here because we're going to spend the bulk of our time in this passage in Acts. You'll see him, for instance, in 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, you're going to find that the Apostle Paul said, you know, I asked Apollos to stay, but he couldn't, so he had to leave, which is totally different than Titus and Timothy. And if you remember anything about Titus and Timothy, Paul said, okay, I want you to go here, and I want you to go here. So, which tells us that because he had no had no control over Apollos. Apollos acted independently. Now, we also find that when he goes to Corinth, look at chapter 19, verse 1, Apollos was at Corinth. Apollos got quite a following there. Now, if you remember, Paul had started a church there in Corinth. Then went to Ephesus before he went on to Jerusalem. But Apollos goes to Corinth, and guess what? Everybody loved, not everyone, but here they all loved him. But this is why you have Paul saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, now this I say that every one of you saith, I am of Paul. And someone else says, I am of Apollos. And someone else says, well, I like Peter, he's the main guy. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 3 that Paul says, while one saith, I am of Paul, and another of, I am of Apollos, he says, are you not carnal? You are just followers of personalities. And we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul says, who is Paul anyway? I'm a nobody. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Who is Apollos? He's just another Christian. Who is Peter? You know, and Paul says that, you know, you're all fighting each other. He said, now I planted, remember he started the church. What did Apollos do? He watered. But who gets all the credit? God. He gave the increase. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And he tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, that basically, that, you know, we're not in competition with each other like you are. You're fighting each other over who's your favorite preacher. And so it is interesting that this is the kind of influence Apollos had. Now, the last time you'll see Apollos is in the book of Titus, which is about 7 or 8 years after that we see him in 1 Corinthians 16, which basically says this. Paul says to Titus, bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting in them. And basically, what we're seeing here, now we're speculating a little bit, apparently when Paul sent Titus to Crete, he sent Apollos to deliver the letter. And Paul says, tell Apollos, come back when he's done doing what he needs to do. He's my brother. So in other words, the point I'm trying to make here is this, all the arguing and the bickering had nothing to do with Paul and Apollos. They were like that. But the people had their favorites. So the thing that I want to deal with tonight is when we consider the person of Apollos, we're going to see two main overriding things regarding him. Number one, we're going to see he was faithful to God's work. God's Word. He was faithful to God's Word. And what we have just read should help you to see. And I hope you're reading it very clearly and carefully as I'm reading it to you. What you'll see is that he was truly faithful to God's Word. And the second thing we'll see is not only that he was faithful to God's Word, but he was fervent in God's work. He was fervent in God's work. So let's look at these two points this evening. First of all, he was faithful to what? Okay, so we see first of all his faithfulness to God's Word. Now we see this in chapter 18, verse 24. He was a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, and it tells us in verse 24 that he was a mighty man in the Scriptures. So he was mighty in the Scriptures. And it's interesting, it tells us he was eloquent. Now, in other words, when you look at the word eloquent, we see it's a word which means, and quoting Hebert again, it carries the meaning that he was not only knowledgeable, but he was also very well trained. So in other words, he didn't ignore those books in Alexandria. He's one of those guys, if you've ever been to college, who gets the straight A's and enjoys the digging into literature. And he was very eloquent. And he was trained well in his mind. And he had when it says he's eloquent, he was very much had a very good gift of speaking. But it tells us here, though, that he used that because he was mighty in the Scriptures. And being mighty in the Scriptures, literally, that means he was strong and thorough. He had thorough knowledge of the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, he was the kind of person who was not weak in his knowledge of the Old Testament. Now, if I ask you, can you rattle off the Old Testament? Could you do it? Some of you could. Tell me some of the details of Isaiah. Now, I'm not asking you to do that now, but I'm just trying to pique your thinking a little bit. I've been reading Jeremiah, And I always feel sorry for Jeremiah. Jeremiah is trying to do his best, preaching God's word, and they just keep wanting to beat him up. It's good to know the details of Zechariah. It's good to know not only the devotional thoughts of the Psalms, but the understanding of Psalm 119. Now again, I'm throwing out these books, and we could talk about certain chapters of books, which Apollos would not have had the chapter divisions like we have. But he would have had the different Psalms. And of course, Psalm 119, are you aware of the fact that there are, in Psalm 119, there's different headings for each section, and each one represents the Hebrew alphabet, A, B, C, if you were to do it in English. And so, he was not a lightweight. You know, when we think of somebody who is strong, you know, you get weights and you lift them up. And you say, yeah, look what I can do. Oh, make my muscles strong. Well, how are you in your strength of the Scriptures? And we should lift weights every day, spiritual weights. We should pick up our Bible. And we should daily make ourselves strong in the Lord. Now, we may not be as gifted in eloquence as Apollos was, but he was mighty in the Scriptures. Number two, we see that he was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. And we're told in verse 25, this man was instructed. Now, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the word that we get in the English from the word that's translated from instructed is the word to catechize. Now, Mark Minnick was with us a few years ago, and he said, one of the things that I'm trying to do with our church is to get them to know good catechisms. Which means that this was not just self-learned, but somebody was catechizing with him and repeating him to him, do you know this? Do you know that? And this is what we find with him. He was not only mighty in the Scriptures, but he was instructed. And notice what it says here in verse 25, in the way of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you're aware of it, but in the book of Acts, when it talks about the way, now Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Christianity was initially known as the way. And it wasn't until you get to Antioch that they were first called Christians. And we're told here that he knew quite a bit, but he had a limitation. Look at verse 25. At the end of that verse, he only knew what? The baptism of John. What did John say? There's coming one after me who's shoe latchet you're not able to unloose. And, you know, he is, you know, I baptize in water, but he's going to baptize in the Spirit. Now, we don't know if Apollos, maybe he went and heard John. And maybe someone told him about the ministry of John the Baptist. But he heard this, and he was catechized in the way of the Lord. And it's kind of why, yeah, church is good, and I think we ought to be in church. But you know, there is something very valuable about Sunday school. I would not dare get up here and give all the details, and can I use the word boring, Patrick?
Yes.
The seemingly meaningless details of dispensationalism. But you know, it's good for us to understand that there is a reason why people interpret the Scripture the way we do. And this is why what we're seeing, this is the rationale behind infant baptisms. It's the rationale behind some of the eschatology beliefs. And so it's good to be instructed. Now, it doesn't tell us who instructed him, but he did not just say, oh man, this is so boring, I can't wait to get out of this class. I mean, that wasn't Apollos' attitude whatsoever. And it's important to be under the teaching of Scripture. The third thing we see about him, not only was he mighty in Scripture, not only was he instructed, but thirdly, he was diligent. Verse 25. And it says, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Now, he only knew the teaching of John the Baptist, but it is important to understand that what he knew, he was diligent in it. And it's an interesting word, diligent, there. And I pulled up Strong's definition of this word. The word is used two times as diligently, one time as perfectly, one time as circumspectly. And according to Blue Letter Bible, it literally means exactly, accurately. So in other words, one thing that was true about Apollos, he was very exact. And that takes diligence. Because it's easy to say, oh, I know what that word means. I mean, there's a reason why I get up and say, this word means this, and this word means this. Someone says, I don't care, just tell me what it means. But see, this was Apollos. He was very accurate. And the Scripture tells us that we should be accurate with Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, can you quote it with me? Study to show thyself approved unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it tells us to rightly divide. Now, to rightly divide, that is so important. And it is important to rightly divide the Word of God. You know why? You want to hear a bunch of junk? Get on YouTube. Listen to some of the junk. And they'll talk about how the Lord's coming back, or I saw this vision. And they'll totally misrepresent the Scripture. And you say, where did you get that? That's why it is essential that we are accurate with the Word of God. You know, someone said, well, you only work a couple hours a week. But it takes hours of studying. I mean, even when we're studying Sunday school curriculum, somebody spent a lot of hours on that. Now, we got to be careful that we don't just read off what the curriculum says, but we need to know, okay, what does the Bible say? We need to be accurate. So it's important to diligently study God's Word. That was Apollos. The fourth thing we see is that he was fervent. Look at verse 25. It says, and he spake and taught accurately, diligently, the things of the Lord. And it tells us that in verse 25, he was fervent in the Spirit when he did that. In other words, that word, let me explain that word. That word fervent literally means to boil with heat. You ever turn on the water and you turn the fire on that and all of a sudden it starts boiling. Now I'll tell you, there's some activity in that. There is a sense of you know, there's a sense of there is zeal in that. You see, Apollos was not just light, he was also heat. In other words, he could take something that maybe someone say, well, that's boring. Boring. But I tell you what, there was a stir in his heart. And it's interesting because it tells us that what he discovered, and I'm reading Hebrew, what he had discovered appealed to him not only intellectually, but captivated his very spirit. And it glowed with enthusiasm. And it burned like fire in his bones. And it's like when you go to the scripture and you say, wow! That is amazing! I am getting such a blessing from the Beatitudes. And I look at that and I say, whoa, why didn't I see that before? For your edification, go study the word meekness that we're going to study Sunday night. See, this was Apollos. And he just didn't rattle off statistics. There was enthusiasm with him. And the fifth thing that we see about Apollos and his faithfulness to God's word is that he was humble. Because, I mean, somebody that gifted, that knowledgeable, it's interesting that he gets up and probably preaches a powerful message. And Aquila and Priscilla say, you know, that was very good, Apollos. Can you come over for dinner? And he sits down with them, and it says that they expounded unto him. They didn't just criticize him. Boy, did you get that wrong? No, he didn't do it. They said, well, look at this, and look at this. And expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, instead of arguing with them, the scripture tells us that he was humble enough to actually learn from this couple. Now, he didn't know that Jesus Christ had done all the things he did in Israel. He didn't know anything. You know, it's not like he had the internet where he was watching this go on. He didn't know about all of the events of Christ's crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, the Pentecost event in Acts 2. He didn't know about all of that. And he took that and ran with it. He didn't argue with it. You know, he wasn't like people who sit in church and figure, I already know that. I don't even need to turn to that verse. You ever do that? I have. Oh, I know that. That wasn't Apollos. Apollos said, you know, there's something more I'm not getting here. Tell me more. And we should always be in a position to learn. So he was faithful to God's word. Secondly, he was fervent to God's work. So we're told here in verse 27, and when he was disposed. Now that's an interesting word. You look that up, it means he had a strong purpose. He had a strong will. He desired very intently to pass into Achaia. Now we know according to chapter 19, verse 1, Achaia was the region, but Corinth was his destination. And probably Aquila and Priscilla said, you know, you should have seen what happened when I was with Paul. We were with Paul and we were in Corinth. People were getting saved and it was exciting. And Pilate says, I think I want to go there. And he had a purpose, you know, like, you know, I had a purpose to come to Kansas. You know, I wonder, you know, when people have that kind of purpose, you know, you find yourself and say, okay, what does God want me to do? Okay, I have this knowledge. Now, if you have been in our ministry for the many years, many of you have been, you should be very well versed. Now, that's not any credit to myself, but you know, as well as I know, we're always looking at this book. Very seldom do I get up and just give a speech. And you should be very well versed. Okay, now here's the question. What are you going to do with that? How are you going to use that? Now, you have gifts. You have abilities. You may not have the gift of Apollos, who is a great speaker. But the real question is, you know, are you, as Apollos, looking for opportunities to serve God? And what do you intend to do for the Lord, what God has revealed to you through His Word? You know, we're like sometimes a sponge. You know, you absorb water like a sponge, but you get to the point where there's no more room to put water in that sponge, right? So what do you got to do? Get rid of some of that water so you can absorb some more. Now, that's very important when you have a flooding kitchen or something, you know. You got to somehow get that water out of there. Well, a lot of Christians that way, they've just got all kinds of knowledge, and what they do is they become good Pharisees. And the Scriptures tell us that we must use that for His glory. And we do that by looking for opportunities to serve God. And that's what Apollos did. Secondly, we see that he helped other Christians. Look at verse 27. Well, after he had gone, the brethren wrote, this is in Ephesus, exhorting the disciples in Corinth to receive him. And when he was come, what did he do? He helped them. So, the word there, I was looking at that word to see if it was the word paraclete. It really wasn't. It's the word to converse with. And he was useful to them. In other words, he went and talked with these people. He didn't take the attitude of, well, I'm kind of a me, myself, and I person. I'm not going to talk with people. No, he went and talked with them. And he was useful. And what does Paul say? I planted, but Apollos watered. And he gave them more, and it's interesting in verse 27, did they do it? Did he do it through his great ability? No, he helped them much through what? Grace. God does that. God is the one that changes people. I still believe that. This is why we're going to build our church. Because God will do that if it's His will. Because God says, I will build my church. But it's not going to be because of this personality. And believe it or not, it's not going to be because of your personality. He's going to do it through His grace. Nor will He do it through Luke's personality. So it is essential that we learn to be people who are going to talk with Christians and water what they already have been planted so that they can grow. And then finally, I got to end. Not only did he look for opportunities to serve God, not only did he help other Christians, but he convinced the lost to receive Christ. Verse 28, he mightily convinced the Jews. Now, the interesting thing is, If you, and again, that's a different word than the mighty earlier. Literally, it meant he forcibly put them under conviction. And interesting, it tells us he was convinced. This is why it's the only time it's used in the New Testament, but the root of that word is the word that is translated reprove in John chapter 16, where it says the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of three things. Do you remember what they are? Of what? What's the first thing? Sin, righteousness, and the judgment to come. So it's interesting that it says that Apollos met the opposing arguments. He convinced them, and Vine translates that he brought home moral blame to them. It's kind of like a lawyer. You know, you look at a lawyer, what is the lawyer trying to do? He's trying to take these arguments and answer them. So that's what's supposed to happen in debates, which is hopefully I'm going for Pence to out-argue Harris tonight. Because many times people put up false arguments. And you've got to be able to answer them. And Apollos, he spoke, and God got a hold of people's hearts. And that's why we need to trust the Holy Spirit to help us convince the lost. And notice how we do that. Now, this isn't rocket science. Just look at the scripture here. He did it through what? Showing by the what? Scripture that Jesus was the Messiah. And I'm sure he used some of the arguments that Aquila and Priscilla explained to him. So, our gifts are all different. We all have different personalities. By the way, don't ever let personality keep you from doing what God tells you to do. But we may not be like Apollos in his eloquence, in his ability to know things, in his ability to speak. But we can be faithful to God's word and fervent in God's work. Talk about trying to start over as a ministry. Let's do it. I'm ready. Let's go. So the question is, what are you going to do? Let's be like Apollos. Our Father, we thank you so much for giving us this word of teaching and your word tonight. We ask that you would guide us, direct us, help us, strengthen us. Lord, may we be like Apollos, that we would be very accurate with your word, that we would not just accept what somebody says, but that we would study ourselves to be approved unto you, rightly dividing the word of truth. And may you, Lord, help us to take that knowledge and use it to do your work. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.